I'm very pleased to welcome back to Fremantle Shipping News Tony Jones, sculptor and man for a number of years behind sculptures at
Bathers. Yeah.
Tony, this is its fifth rendition.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
How often does it happen?
Well, we had one, and then we thought we'd have another one. So it happened. We can't, because we're large. Up until now, we've been largely volunteer-driven. We just didn't have the mechanisms to do it every year, so we thought every 2 years would work. And we've managed to get five together since 2013.
This is the fifth.
This is the fifth. There was one gap of 3 years because we just ran out of puff, really. Volunteers are wonderful and they are part of our community in a lot of ways, but you've got to give people a break. And if you're not paying them, and we lost a few committee members, not because they didn't believe in what we did, but just because they reckon they'd done enough.
And people have all sorts of demands on their time.
Oh yeah, and that was. But we've managed always to rejuvenate the committee the committee with new people, and luckily some young ones, you know, young arts people that have been rounded up, and they're the inheritors, I see.
They're the future.
If it will need them, and they're learning from good people. And they're watching a mechanism of arts management, I suppose, in some way. It sounds a bit management style, but how the structure of these sort of things is, it's a bit like an iceberg, you know, there's a lot going on that you don't see. And we've got good people at the head, good managers and good curators and people with experience, and we've got some renewal going on.
So there's two aspects to all of this, I guess certainly in the arts world, you need vision and as the footballers say, execution.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you need the talent. You need the sculptors.
Yeah.
And you bring it all together.
Yeah.
In this fifth iteration, more than a decade down the track since the first, if you're putting the two side by side, and you've sort of commented a little bit on the administering it and making it happen side, about the presentation side? What's happening now, if it does?
It's probably a bit hard to reinvent it because there's a lot of things. I mean, just doing it well each time, and with, you know, if we get on away from the management side and onto the artist's side, then there's been renewal there. The process this time, for the first time, was a different application system where we have invited in the past artists, but this time we asked all artists to make a formal application with their idea, their drawing, their concept, even where they'd like the work to go. And so there was a selection process. This was driven by the new curator, and it's a different model. And it will be, you know, it can be judged for what it is. I mean, it's certainly revealed new people. I've been around a while, and there's probably 10 or 15 names that I'd never heard of.
There's a number of exhibitors in this.
Yeah, there's 71 exhibitors, and that was another curatorial decision to drop it from 90 to 71. You probably wouldn't pick the difference, although there are artworks at the Port, which is a sort of satellite exhibition. There's five artists there, and if this goes to air soon enough, it'll be great to get people to go to the Port because they're feeling a little bit left out.
Well, the Shipping News posted a story about the Port Victoria Quay sculpture walk the other day.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
We did. So you start there, or you can start anywhere really, but you then come on around the curve.
Yeah, yeah.
Past Jay Shed.
Yeah.
Down onto Bathurst Beach, but it goes on, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, it go. Yeah. Well, the port works around the new gauge roads facility as well.
Yes.
They are. They're actually a group of very good works, and they're actually works of scale. And I think we probably could have done with a few more works of scale on Bathurst Beach or in the area. There's a couple of spots where we've had bigger works in the past, just because the space needs it. And so it's always a learning curve.
There's one out in the water.
That's right.
Amazing. Really.
Yeah, there's Tim Burns's mine, viral looking mine.
It's got a peculiar resemblance to something that's been bothering us all.
Yeah, that's right. And that's, I think that was part of his, Tim always does something a bit out there and provocative usually. That's his history.
And you'll find some of the sculptures, won't you, in Fremantle proper?
Yeah, well, I'm involved in a satellite show at the Republic of Fremantle, the distillery, if you like. I'm always a bit inclined to call it a gin palace or something like that, but I'll probably get into trouble for that. But no, it's a great facility, and they've been exemplary sponsors in the way they did a trade for an exhibition for the opening night presentation of their product, and that was a great joint effort, I think. And yes, we've got about 7 works in the Republic, and it looks like it'd be a good place for anyone to go and check out our little satellite show and have a good meal and some serious gin.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and if you're lucky enough to see the distillery there, it itself is
in it, exactly. That's what I've been saying to people. If you don't like the art, get a load of the of the stills and the kind of complexity of the whole place. It's a credit to them, in the sense that, you know, these are obviously the sort of things Fremantle needs, and to be able to combine that with art, you know, it's a great opportunity.
Perfect combo.
Yeah.
And there are other nice things happening this year as well. You can book a gourmet tour with an artist. You can go on a less gourmet tour and enjoy snacks afterwards.
Sure.
And sort of indulge yourself a little bit, understanding what you're looking at.
I did one tour on last Saturday night, and it was a small group from Gallows Gallery. Catherine Stafford got some of her clients to come along, and it was incredibly enjoyable, and it was a bit unstructured because they tended to wander off and look at other things while I was trying to talk, but they seemed to love the whole experience. And then when we got back after, and there was some snacks and some drinks, and we've had sponsorship from Vass Felix and Little Creatures, so we can, you know, give people a nice drink. And we've had good sponsorship from Dosonia. Got 9 kilos of salami to get through.
Oh, wow.
but all that aside, I mean, it's that sort of...
It's a lovely experience.
Yeah, and the big thing is the camaraderie and the meeting of people. And I met some really people that I hadn't ever, you know, that I'd heard of around the traps, and here we are all sitting sharing stories and enjoying. I mean, you got to think it's one of the most beautiful venues that it could possibly be.
Bathurst Beach, particularly into the late afternoon, early evening, and in the dark, is one of the most magical places.
It is. It's got that background of heritage. It's got the vegetation that, you know, you don't need to get a ferry to Rottnest to pick up the feeling of West Australian coastal environment, and when the sun's hot and the wind's offshore, you could be at Rottnest, for example. But, you know, it's just beautiful, you know, for a swim, for those who swim. And no, I just think it's a context for the sculpture, and people can sometimes imagine where they might place a work. You know.
Well, your old colleague Greg James has got something which does that very smartly as you walk onto the beach from Cadogo.
Yeah, he's got the piano, and Yeah, I mean, that story resonates through all those people who take the white fella's story of arrival and
as if they were the first.
Yeah, but in a way they were the first white fellas, and God knows what they thought they were doing. But
they brought their pianos with them.
Yeah, and a whole lot of stuff. I've just been reading about Georgiana Molloy, and she was in 1830. Similar thing, lost stuff on the beach, you know, lost a lot of their animals. And, you know, the piano was a kind of symbol. And that's a little bit what's going on with my current sculpture for Homes of Court. It's a boat full of goods. Who knows what happens to them? And I think Greg's piano tells that story in its own way. And I just think there we are in the place where all that happened.
And when it comes to artists around Bathurst Beach, people probably in the newer brigade forget that Joan Campbell had her.
Well, yeah. There was even a little tribute one year to Joan they've done one. I think there's a plaque now on the wall there.
Yes.
And I used to visit her a bit. She was a great supporter, Joan. She was we all know, although people do forget, that she was such an advocate. I think the ghost of Joan Campbell would be hovering over what we're doing if these things happen.
I think so. When it comes to sculptures, what is it that excites the people who come down and look?
Yeah.
Not well, if people sometimes want to see things of scale, yeah. Sometimes yeah. They're happy with the intricate, but what is it about the whole process that makes we humans stand and talk and wonder?
Well, it's just about, just as well they do, because, but I think it's the physicality of them as opposed to the two-dimensionality of painting that
Take that,
painters. Yeah. No, we're all in the same game, but sculptures do have a presence, you know, they can exist in the landscape, they can be touched and felt, and some of them are being overtouched at the moment with a bit of vandalism. But essentially, that's that kind of relationship you can have with a sculpture that is different from a work on the wall. It's not better or worse, it's just different. And people appreciate the materiality of things, I think. You know, they love to wonder about what things are made of. You know, where did you get that stuff? Or how's a bronze sculpture made? Or how's a, you know, and that's a lovely piece of carving. You know, Gina Lee's carving there is, she's, you know, set up in the J shed, and you know she is a carver. So each sculptor has their own modus operandi, a way of working that distinguishes them at times. And so painting has a range of materials. Not that it's limited, but essentially oil paints and watercolors and acrylics and things like that. But sculpture, you know. You know, you never know where it's going to come from, you know, how it's going to be manifest.
Then you see something which you need to see after dark down there, which looks like a lot of old-fashioned 4-gallon drums made of plastic that light up. What's going on with that?
Well, the actual works themselves don't have a particular presence during the day, but they come to life at night, which is like some people. But so maybe the communication of what am I looking at during the day probably needs a bit more explanation, but I think they can exist there during the day and then come to light at night like a creature, and they are spectacular at night. Because they've got. Have you seen them at night? Yeah, no.
Some of them I have.
Yeah, because it's programmed.
Yes.
The lights and.
There's one directly in front of Cadogo going out into the beach, which looks like a very large aquarium.
It is, yeah.
And then suddenly it lights.
Does it? Because I haven't seen that.
And it always transforms it when you're standing back further into something different again.
Which is great, the way those sort of things happen. And the other thing that happens with it probably doesn't happen with Tim's mine, but when works are placed, well, a lot of those works, just by being by the beach, will look different in the morning sun. They'll look different, you know, in the evening as the sun goes down. And the ocean itself is a kind of, you know, canvas in its own way, because the ocean incredibly hardly ever looks the same. It certainly doesn't look the same day after day. And morning, and when the sea breeze kicks in, or when the easterlies offshore, that kind of face of the ocean is some sort of canvas, really, or some sort of backdrop.
It is, isn't it? It's very much, I think, part of it. And Jim's mine come viral thing.
Yeah.
You see that in the morning light.
Yeah.
It's quite arresting.
Yeah, you'll see it better in the morning light. Yeah, because things get backlit by the setting sun, but then you get that whole transformation of the environment. Because, I mean, one of the most spectacular things worth watching, I mean, is number one, it's the sunset itself, but then the ocean lights up with all the red and green navigation markers, and the two lighthouses kick in, and there's kind of a choreography that is worth a lot. You don't have to pay for that.
Yeah, that's right. And some locals have been coming in on their kayaks at that time of the
evening,
appreciating it.
Peter
Zavala was down there with his photographic students the other night.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot happening on Bathers Beach.
It's Well, you know, the other thing is the beach house itself, and Nick Unmack and his team have been great supporters, and we really have to mention them. And Joanna with, you know,
Joanna Robertson at Cadoga, she's done amazing things there.
Yeah, and the kelp bar's sort of standing room only at the moment, you know.
Yes, it is. I tried to get a seat there the other night and you couldn't.
you get a free drink on Thursday night. Well, not so much a free drink,
but part of the tour.
Yeah, part of the tour.
So, yeah. What is the sort of the differing scales that people could expect to see? How should they approach it?
Well, we do contrast ourselves with Sculpture by the Sea, and Sculpture by the Sea has been the model, to be fair, for what we're doing. But we deliberately only invite Western, it's a West Australian based show, whereas Sculpture by the Sea has a lot of international participants and a lot of interstate participants, and their show probably has more monumental works. And I think our show has more intimate works, more human scale works, more works that are kind of in tune with the scale of Bathers Beach itself. It's not
Cottesloe.
No, it's not a big grand, you know. Cottesloe has a degree of, it's not a sweeping one, but we've got a particular place where the works, for some reason, fit the scale. People say they enjoy it for that reason. And so, you know, there's no massive works, put it that way. And there are a number of works that you can encounter at, you know, hidden in the bushes, down the end of the beach. Some people think they would be better down on the shore, but there's some really lovely brooms by Gemma Ben-Ari against the cliff down near the tunnel. The tunnel, sadly, is still being worked on, you know. The tunnel
opening soon.
Yeah. So, but there are some works down there that shouldn't be missed. I think a number of the works inside, the more intimate works, are really worth spending the time looking at. There's a lovely work made by Gisela Zuckner Mogul. It's on the end wall in the small gallery. It's like a blue wave. It's blue fibers all sort of like a big brush, and it's quite tactile and sensual, and that's a lovely work.
Then you go from something like that back onto Bathers Beach, Tony.
Yeah.
It looks like someone found the old overland telegraph line.
And I think they did.
And erected it. Yeah. It's amazing.
That's Bruce Abbott's, yes. Bruce last year did the big sandbag work that encapsulated a bit of the ocean. And this year Bruce is out there in the bush looking a lot of the time, and they are salvaged from the outback.
I saw a stamp that suggested they were 19th century cast iron.
Yeah, the bases are definitely cast iron.
Yes.
And the actual, above the cast iron base, they have a beautiful tapered form. They're not faceted like your modern telegraph poles. I don't think they were cast, but they could have been. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a superb concept and beautifully realised in that setting.
Yeah, moving out into the ocean.
Yes.
That's right. You know, I mean, I don't want to be, it's an interesting thought that with the piano, Greg's piano. I know he's done it, cast it in bronze, and it'll last forever. But I almost thought, you know, a recycled piano half buried in the sand would have been very evocative as well.
But it wouldn't last as well.
And it's not my place to remake people's art. But
that's the beauty of it. You can have a conversation about this or that and what's going on in here, and then something tall with little boxes on it and coloured.
Yeah, well, that's that one, if that's part of your memory, is Tom Kirkmere's work. And Tom's a bit of a hardy annual with all the shows these days, and Tom works with very minimal materials. Tom's a person who lives a very simple life. He doesn't drive a car. He lives in Northam, and his works are made usually so he can tow them behind his bike and assemble them when he gets to the venue. And he's
a long way from Northam to Bathurst Beach.
Well, he takes the bike down to the railway station where he leaves it and catches the train to Fremantle via Perth, and he has a bike in a shed at the station. And
amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wonderful thing.
Yeah, and he lives that sort of low key, and that's why the materials he uses are not precious, but they can still tell a story. Mm. Seems to love his coloured paint.
Tony, we'll bring this conversation to an end soon, because we really don't want to tell people too much about Sculpture by the Sea. We've told them enough.
Sculpture at Bathurst.
I'm sitting here looking at a poster Sculpture at Bathurst, number 5. And they eventually can go on to Sculpture by the Sea.
They can, and we'd encourage that too.
Yes, because sculpture is just a fabulous thing.
Yeah.
People can go onto the website, which will be a story. Book a tour as well.
Yeah, book a tour. And
try to come down in the evening, because it's more of the game.
And stand by, you know, if you see something, you know, and if you've got the wherewithal to buy it.
Make an offer.
Because we do rely on sales. And we don't have the same marketing skills, it seems, as Sculpture by the Sea, where they also work very hard to achieve sales, but they have a whole sales department, and we have people who take on that job, but it's not their day job. So I think we could benefit from a bit of patronage. I suppose.
I think you can go into the Cadogo area and talk about buying sculptures.
Anyway, so we are hoping for that.
The beauty about, quite seriously, about the more intimate nature of many of the sculptures here at Bathurst Beach is that they can fit into people's front yards and side yards and backyards, beach homes.
Well, if you know, there's a couple of beautiful small works by Theo Koning.
Yes.
Inside the door in the small gallery. And they are affordable. Art always costs a bit more than, you know, a McDonald's or something. But, you know, they're enduring. Someone like Theo has a wonderful story to tell and has been a participant in all these sorts of events. And to own a work by Theo I've tried to encourage it with a few other people, and I reckon we might get close with a bit of luck. We're hoping also to get in, you know, some of the local government to put their hands in their pockets. Fremantle's been fantastic with the support, but I'm hoping that East Fremantle might come down and, well, in fact, I expect them to.
Good.
Because
good.
They're my local government, and I'd love their support. And there are other, City of Melville, City of Coburn, Pepmont Grove, Mozzie Park. We've probably got to do a little bit of, I was just saying to our mob, you know, that sculptures don't sell themselves. You've got to, they need a bit of help.
All right, well, a shout out to all those local governments.
Yeah,
send your requisition officers down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Tony will help.
You'll be more than welcome, and you won't regret it.
Tony, thank you very much for talking to the Sugar News today.
Yeah, good.
Good luck with
thank
the rest
you.
Of this.
And, thank you.
And to everyone listening, make sure you get down soon.
Good on you, and thank you for doing all this fine work.